SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. The time has come for the 2021 NFL Draft. Craig, Mitch, Davis, Maddock got you covered here until 2 o'clock, and then we'll say so long, but we'll be back here tonight talking about some of the picks for sure. You know, Davis, there was a movie a while back called Draft Day. I think Kevin Costner was in it. I don't know. Did you like that movie? Did you see that movie when it came out?
No, I didn't see it because football movies are never good. They're just never good. They never capture the complexity of the game. And this is probably true of every person who is very interested in a field of work, right? Oh, this is what I do. So a movie about that is never going to capture the reality because it's never going to be in depth. They're going to get minor details wrong. It's going to annoy you. Like you cannot. If you really are involved in something, you can't really watch a movie about it because they'll just always mess something up and it'll annoy you. And that's how I felt about Draft Day, so I never saw it.
How about, would you, I don't know if you saw Jerry Maguire, but would you consider Jerry Maguire a football movie? I thought that movie was good.
Never saw Jerry Maguire. Pretty sure that came out either before I was born or when I was very, very young. I know it has. It's got Tom Cruise in it. It's the Show Me the Money, the agent. I mean, I get it. I get the vibe of what it is. But no, I've never seen Jerry Maguire.
You know, your go-to is that it was out before you were born or even when you were young. I mean, you are aware you could still watch these movies now, even at, you know, 20, 30 years after. Like, The Godfather came out before I was born, Davis, but I still recognize it as a really good movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so that's true. But also, you know, there's a limited number of hours in the day. Do I want to spend 90 minutes of my finite time here on this earth going back and rewatching Jerry Maguire? It's just not one that's made the cut. Now, The Godfather... Seen The Godfather like three times. It's a great movie. Okay. You know, a cinema classic, been there forever. Not sure Jerry Maguire or Draft Day is going to make it into the Criterion collection.
Brett, have you seen Jerry Maguire? Any interest in it at all? Brett, have you seen it? James, have you seen Jerry Maguire?
Of course I've seen it. Big okay. Rod See, Tidwell they... fan.
See, Rod seriously, Tidwell Davis. Fan. Come on, man. Come on. Like that was a good movie, man. Got to check it out.
Is it really a good movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Good movie. Yes. Good movie. I mean, not the best movie of all time, but if we're going to identify that all football movies are bad and we're putting Jerry Maguire in that category, then that's unfair because that movie was not. Yes. That movie was not bad. It was not bad. Now, does it hold up? After all this time of being a movie that you should see right now, I'm not sure. You would have to be the answer to that, but Rudy was also a good movie, good football movie, I would consider. Trying to think beyond that. No, that's probably about it. Okay, yeah, that's it. All right, here are our headlines here for the show. NFL draft coverage starts tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern, and we'll be here for it. New York, Baltimore, starting now. 10-game NBA slate. You can go back on our YouTube channel, catch all of our DFS selections. Davis went through those just a short time ago. Nets, Pacers tonight. Nets getting closer and closer, locking things up for their playoff positioning. There's a 6-game NBA slate tonight. They were smart. They knew the NFL draft was coming, and they're like, we're not going to have as many games. And Marcus Smart suspended one game. Threatening language toward a ref. So not good news for Marcus Smart, no doubt about that. One of the intriguing storylines in tonight's 2021 NFL draft is something that we've never seen before, which is a number of players in 2020 decided to opt out of the college football season because of the pandemic and other reasons. And the Miami Dolphins are involved, of course, in the draft tonight. Their general manager, Chris Greer, was asked about potentially taking or even passing on players who opted out and how that factors into the evaluation.
2020 is such a unique year, you know, with the pandemic. And, you know, all players have reasons for opting out. And, you know, I don't think it's right for us to hold it against any player, whether it's family or, you know, we don't know all the circumstances, you know, until you get to this point, you talk to players. But a lot of players opted out. You know, you also have schools that some schools played 4 games, some people played 10, you know what I mean? So however you look at it, it wasn't going to be an apples to apples comparison around. So, but, you know, for us to sit here and judge players on opt-outs for their reasons why, it's unfair, and I think it's unrealistic.
All right, so I'll turn it over to you, Davis. In terms of your preparation for this, has that affected anything with not having any video from some of these players in 2020? I don't know that the top of the list we've had those guys. Although Trey Lance didn't opt out, but did he even play last year?
He played 1 game. NDSU okay. did like an exhibition game basically for college scouts to come and watch him in person, but he has not started a real game that counts in standings in 18, 19 months at this point. Yeah.
So 30 seconds. Did that affect anything like with you putting your mock drafts together, feeling about any players one way or the other?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there are loads of guys who didn't play. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, who's going to go 5th overall, didn't play. Terrace Marshall, as a result, got way more playing time. It would be very foolhardy to suggest that guys opting out and not playing didn't have an impact on how we evaluate these players for the NFL draft.
Okay. All right. Well, we got plenty more to come. We're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers, what they may do with the upcoming draft. Also, the New England Patriots. So stay with us. Stay on the grid. Fantasy sports today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid. And, of course, check out our YouTube channel where all of our shows are posted there daily. What will the Patriots do tonight? Will it be moving up for a quarterback? Will it be just simply taking a player that we've never heard of? They've done that before, too. I have it for you coming up next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports today here on Sports Grid, SportsGrid.com. You know, a couple of teams we haven't talked about all that much. One of them is the Green Bay Packers in the 2021 NFL Draft. Another solid year for the Packers. And Davis, I remember this time last year talking about what the Packers may do, and they didn't do anything that we thought they would do. And truthfully, it didn't affect their season a heck of a lot. People gave them, I think, like a F for their draft grade last year. They didn't take another weapon for Aaron Rodgers. And honestly, like, I don't know, like, it looked like they didn't have great wide receivers last year, but at least their product at the end of the season didn't really matter. But this year, it would appear that there's some potential for them to actually take an offensive player this year, unless you think maybe that there's something different coming from them. But FanDuel definitely feels like there's a good chance of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they definitely did get an F for their draft last year, and they're going to be paying the price for it this year. Last year's draft class would have been an amazing draft class to go and get a wide receiver. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor, Michael Pittman, T. Higgins. I mean, so many guys they could have gotten who would have made them better right away. Their first three picks they made last year were Jordan Love, who didn't play one snap all year, A.J. Dillon, who is their third-string running back, and Josiah DeGuerra, who played fullback for them and didn't see the field in their playoff loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the F was right, and they're going to have to make up for it this year. They're going to have to take a wide receiver in a worse class. And because they are picking 28th, I don't think, you know, they're not going to be able to get Rashad Bateman. They're not going to be able to get Jalen Waddle. They're not going to be able to get Devonta Smith. So it's going to be Rondale Moore, Elijah Moore. I actually think if I was betting this market, though, I would bet offensive line, because I think where they pick Samuel Cosmi, who is an offensive tackle from the University of Texas, should be available. He's about the fifth best offensive tackle in this class. And I think, you know, you'd probably prefer the fifth best offensive tackle to a wide receiver who's like in tier three. Because I think, you know, Elijah Moore is probably going to be there for them. But the Saints pick right before they do. The Saints need a wide receiver too. So it just, I think this is a terrible spot for the Packers to be picking, honestly.
All right, so let's take a look at the odds again here. Wide receiver, they are plus 185. Offensive line, plus 290. A cornerback is plus 380. Linebacker is 5-1. A D lineman, you can get some nice value here, 6.5-1. And then a safety seems improbable, but 19-1 there. So if you had a choice tonight, Davis, to make one of these wagers, which one would it be?
I would definitely go with offensive line. I think that I think they're equally likely. I think the only two selections they'll be making would be wide receiver and defensive line. If they draft a cornerback here, and they do need a cornerback, but if they drafted a cornerback here, they'd likely be drafting the sixth best cornerback in the draft, just the way it's going to play out. And I guess nothing really would surprise me with this front office given what they did last year, but man, I would view it as really non-intelligent decision making by them to do that.
Yeah, and were you impressed with Robert Tonyan last year? Do you think that he has any future? I know that he was the surprise name, I think, from Green Bay.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with him. You know, I don't think he is like a big dynamic player who changes the way defenses are going to guard you. But I think for his role, he's mostly fine. But, you know, is he Travis Kelce or Darren Waller or George Kittle or Kyle Pitts? No, I mean, not even close.
Okay. All right, let's move over to the New England Patriots and their first round position. We have on FanDuel quarterback, you could get even money. So that's pretty much the lean. Linebacker is plus 290. Cornerback plus 550, wide receiver plus 650, D-line 9.5-1, offensive line 14-1. Davis, look, the Patriots have just been simply adverse to picking good players in the last few years in terms of the skill positions, or at least players that have worked out. N'Keal Harry, I guess the book is not quite out on him. Sony Michel has been pretty much banged up. And so with all the success that they've had, it really just has not come through the draft that much, unless I'm missing something, a player here or there. But which way do you think that they would go tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it would be, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of great options for them at 15, which is why I had them trading in my most recent mock draft, because I think Justin Fields just makes the most sense for where the Patriots are as a franchise. I don't think Belichick is wanting to tank out, you know, as evidenced by the fact that they were decently competitive last year with Cam Newton in there. I think taking an off-the-ball linebacker like Micah Parsons would be a gigantic mistake. They still might want to do that. They need defensive back help. Now, what would be, I mean, the most fascinating outcome would be what happens if they got Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle, if they used some combination of their 15th pick to secure the services of one of those guys, or if they took Rashad Bateman. Both of those would be pretty interesting. But I don't view this as a good market because you are presupposing that they trade. There's no way they're taking a quarterback at 15. They would have to trade up to get Justin Fields, and I feel like that's a parlay I wouldn't want to make. Like, I don't want to be betting on them to make the trade and to take the guy. So I'm just passing on the Patriots market, I think.
Okay, I understand. And by the way, let's say that for some reason Fields is not a Patriot, and they come out of this draft with a quarterback of some kind that's not named Fields. Who would be the second choice for you in rounds? It doesn't have to be first round. It could be second, third, fourth, fifth. Do you think that there is a viable second choice for them?
Yeah, I think it would probably be Davis Mills or perhaps Kyle Trask. I mean, it would be a huge upset if one of those guys went in the first round. So I think they'd probably be looking at that with their second pick. And the Patriots have done these things in the past where they've taken younger quarterbacks with some developmental upside. Yeah. Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, they were able to turn those guys around for assets in the future. Is Davis Mills or Kyle Trask or Jamie Newman or any of those guys of that caliber? I mean, I don't really know. I'm not a quarterback guru, but I would say probably not. So I do think it's kind of first round quarterback or bust. I mean, maybe they also take a developmental guy in round 5, 6, or 7 as well.
Now they had Matt Cassel. That's another name. They had, even before Matt Cassel, they had Ryan Mallett, who they traded, I think, for a first round pick as well. So I got to tell you, you're right. They have been able to do it, but they usually don't need the quarterback. Now they need it. So they gotta strike gold on this one for sure. Okay, now one of the more compelling positions in the draft is definitely the Detroit Lions, but the chalkiest of all of the possibilities here, Davis, looks like wide receiver. They're plus 100. Offensive line is plus 360, quarterback plus 370. Now that Stafford's gone, linebacker 7.5 to 1, a cornerback 11 to 1, D lineman 24 to 1. I think that you don't see chalk here, right? Like you're willing to go out a little bit further on this one.
Yeah, I am willing to go out further on this one because does this mean that they're taking Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith, whoever the Dolphins doesn't take? Like I think that this market is priced bizarrely. I think it would make more sense for them to take Sewell than it would for them to take Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle or Rashad Bateman or whoever is there. I feel like this market is maybe pricing in the opportunity for them that they get Ja'Marr Chase, which if Ja'Marr Chase was on the board where they selected, I think that is who they would take, but I don't think he will be. I think they're taking Trey Lance, and the market does not anticipate that at all. Actually, as you and I have been talking on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Mac Jones is down to minus 130, Trey Lance down to plus 150 to be the third overall selection. So I think the market is all out of whack, though, and I still think that Trey Lance ends up on the Lions.
Yeah, I don't know why there would be such a big shift in that. I'm still very firmly on Mac Jones going three, but look, maybe something is changing. I mean, that's what's incredible. Think about this. What on the day of would have changed San Francisco's mind from Mac Jones to Trey Lance? I refuse to believe that all of that preparation for 5 months is going to change on the day of the draft. I mean, that doesn't sound like a well-run and well-prepared organization, that's for sure. Okay, well, coming up next, our final dive actually into the draft with all of the different players and possibilities. So stay with us. We'll talk about some different players coming up next. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig, Mitch, Davis, Maddock. Be right back in just 2 minutes. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is draft day here on Sports Grid. Excited to give all of our coverage and reveal all of our coverage to you tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern. So to give you my schedule here for the rest of the day, and the draft is something that I do watch every year for sure. I have to say, Davis, I don't know about you, but I did prefer the weekend drafting. I liked that a lot more. I felt more engaged in it. I no longer am a midnight TV watching type person, so inevitably the last 5-6 picks of the first round, I'm probably not going to, or is it second round? I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm probably not going to catch that. I enjoyed the Saturday morning wake up and run through the entire day and same thing on Sunday, but no longer a thing. How about you? What do you prefer? You like this format or you like the other one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch every round of the draft. I'll be glued to my TV for the entirety of the entire thing because I love this stuff. I mean, it is endlessly fascinating to me. It does seem like the draft should start on Friday, though, right? The draft should start on Friday night. The second and third and fourth round should take place on Saturday. The fifth, sixth, and seventh round should take place on Sunday. That just feels like the natural order of things. I don't really understand why it starts on Thursday. Like I mean, the NFL is clearly deduced they can make some extra money that way, but it should start on Friday.
Yeah, I used to like the Saturday morning start. That was when I think that was right. Am I crazy, or was always Saturday Sunday 2 day event, right?
Well, I think the entirety of the ladder rounds used to take place on 1 day, yeah, and then they stretched it out to 3 days because they realized how much money they were making. They realized what good TV it was.
Yeah, I think it was 1 through 3 on Saturday, and then 4 through 7 maybe on Sunday. And then on top of that, the other question that I would ask is that, how do you feel about the players showing up or not showing up to the draft? As an aside, we know it means nothing in terms of picks. Do you care about that part of the broadcast, of seeing the players?
I think it's cool. Like, it's cool to see them have their moment. The human interest side of the NFL draft, you know, a lot of these guys have very interesting stories. I find a lot of these guys to be pretty interesting people. So to see their immediate reactions, like, it, you know, it's kind of the same reason we watch sports, right? For the human element of it, and to see people reacting in real time as things happen to them. It's one of the few actual elements of drama that we have left, because we spend so much time watching TV, which obviously is not dramatic. It's all pre-recorded. So I do enjoy it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now let's take a look and sort of expand our conversation to the fantasy aspect of some of this. Now, it is really hard to do because we don't know the destinations for a lot of the players, but I suppose we could just kind of go through it here a little bit and start off by talking about a couple of different players who may have fantasy potential in 2022. So let's start off with Ja'Marr Chase. I know you have him going to Cincinnati, and certainly that looks pretty viable. Let's make that assumption, at least for this portion of the show. He goes to Cincinnati. He plays with Joe Burrow. We know that their wide receiver situation is not fantastic, to say the least. Tyler Boyd, I don't even know if he's still there anymore. You'd have to tell me that. T. Higgins, actually, I forgot about him. They drafted T. Higgins last year. So what would their receiving core look like with Higgins, Chase, and then would Boyd still be there or no?
Yeah, Boyd's still on the team. It would mean that Auden Tate going to maintain that auxiliary role. John Ross no longer on the roster. Really, it would just set them up to have 11 personnel of CJ Uzuma, who tore his ACL last year, should be back this year. Taj Boyd operating out of the slot, and then Higgins and Chase, the outside wide receivers. I think pretty solid projection for Chase his rookie year would be about 120 targets, about 950 yards, probably 6 touchdowns would be a good median projection that I would have for him. Obviously, there's still going to be offensive line concerns there in Cincinnati. They were the worst offensive line in football last year, 32 out of 32 as graded by Pro Football Focus, so they're going to have to contend with that. That's why some people think that they should take Penei Sewell instead of Ja'Marr Chase, but Chase will probably be a 4th or 5th round selection by the time September rolls around for fantasy football. And I think he has a decent chance at earning that draft slot.
Okay. And then his teammate is Terrence Marshall, who also is expected to be a relatively high pick tonight. Not quite as high for sure. What does Marshall bring to the table?
Well, Marshall is very fascinating. He had 13 touchdowns in 2019 playing next to Chase and Jefferson, and then, you know, really took over the offense in 2020 while Ja'Marr Chase opted out. I was thinking for a long time he was going to be a first round pick, but he was one of the players who had an official medical examination, and his medical red flags are all over the place. He's got some lower body concerns. Some NFL teams are worried about his knees and his ankles. Sounds like he is actually going to be one of those guys who, you know, was mocked in the first round, but is, I mean, I would say probably the 3rd round at this point is probably where we are expecting Terrace Marshall to go. Now, if he's healthy and these medical red flags are unfounded, I would imagine that he actually is going to be a pretty valuable selection in drafts this year. You know, someone like Gabriel Davis, 4th round pick, went to the Bills, you know, ended up having a really strong season. I think we could see something like that take place for Terrace Marshall.
Okay, now our final discussion on the Alabama wide receivers. Let's start with Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle. Look, I know that you like Waddle a little bit more than Smith. That could end up being the case for sure in the NFL. But I do think that when it comes to players who are this similar, I think, in nature, I mean, isn't it just more about the destination for these two at this point than the talent, at least initially?
Yeah, and I think you could argue that if Devonta Smith goes to Miami and Jalen Waddle goes to Philadelphia or New York, I mean, Look, I think that there is a lot to come from Tua, but it was clear that he was worse for fantasy football purposes last year than Ryan Fitzpatrick was. Mike Gesicki, Devontae Parker, Myles Gaskin, all of those guys were worse in fantasy when Tua was their quarterback. So if Devonta Smith ends up in Miami, or if Jalen Waddle ends up in Miami, I'm not going to have huge expectations for those guys in year one. I just don't think the offense is going to pass enough. I don't think they're going to have enough dynamic down the field throwing. And I'm open to being wrong about this. I'm open to, you know, the playbook getting open for Tua in year two. I'm open to Tua running more, which is just going to create more first downs, more possessions, more chances for fantasy points for the wide receivers. But as of right now, not excited about them in Miami as a landing spot. I do think that the Eagles are a sneaky good landing spot because there is just massive targets up for grabs there with the removal of Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz from that offense. You know, really, whichever wide receiver plays the best out of Fulgham, Ward, Rager, or whoever they draft could have, you know, a 140 target season in there.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. You know, a receiver who we haven't talked about, I'd like to touch on real quick. Rondale Moore from Purdue. Don't know a ton about him. Rondale Moore on Purdue. What can you tell me?
Yeah, Rondale Moore is a fascinating player. He is 5'7", weighs about 180 pounds, looks like kind of looks like Maurice Jones-Drew, just a total bowling ball. His freshman year, true freshman year, at Purdue, 114 receptions, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns, 200 rushing yards, and two rushing touchdowns as well. Basically the best true freshman 18-year-old season you were going to find, kind of similar to DJ Moore for Maryland, obviously now who's a star for the Carolina Panthers. The issue is he played seven games for the rest of his college career due to injury. He was banged up for the rest of his time at Purdue, only had another 600 receiving yards while he was in college. Now, he is an absolute athletic testing marvel, has like a vertical leap of like 44 and a half. You got to go find this video, Craig. It's unbelievable. He looks like he's being shot out of a cannon when he's jumping off of the flat ground. I am fascinated by Rondale Moore, and I do think he will probably go in the first round of the NFL draft, which is going to be a surprise to a lot of people.
Okay, let's cap it off with another name that I'm not all that familiar with, Kenneth Gainwell on Memphis. Now, I know Gainwell, if I'm not mistaken, had just some huge games with them and then some quiet games also. What round do you project him going in, and what kind of running back is he? Kenneth Gainwell on Memphis.
Yeah, so Gainwell, he's got to be one of the most fascinating running back prospects in a while. This is who Kenneth Gainwell shared a backfield with while he was in college. Darrell Henderson, second round pick to the Los Angeles Rams. Antonio Gibson, star for the Washington football team. And Tony Pollard, right? Tony Pollard, Dallas Cowboys, very, very good NFL player. And it doesn't end there. Patrick Taylor Jr., who is the third string running back for the Green Bay Packers, he shared a college backfield with four future NFL running backs. And he was the most productive out of all of them. His 2019 season, over 2,000 scrimmage yards, 7.3 yards per touch, 16 touchdowns. He was the most effective receiver of all of these guys. Now, we did not test athletically even close to Gibson or Pollard, who are, you know, true physical marvels. But I think Gainwell will probably go in the third round of the NFL draft. But I imagine that he carves out a role for whichever team drafts him very early on in his NFL career.
All right, so there you have it, some profiles of some of the players being drafted, and of course we'll touch on the players who did not get drafted in the first round on tomorrow's edition of Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, it's fantasy or reality time, a little golf conversation. We'll find out who Davis thinks may win this weekend. Also, Teddy Bridgewater, now with the Denver Broncos. What does that mean for his future and the Broncos' future? And if you've ever thought of space travel, meaning leaving Earth, going somewhere else, you finally may have an opportunity to do it. I know we've been talking about it for a long time, but there is a little bit of risk if you do decide to leave Earth. How much risk are you willing to take? Davis and I will answer that question coming up. Fantasy Sports Today rolls on with Fantasy Reality and the Sports Grid 60 before we say so long to you at 2 o'clock Eastern. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today, here on Sports Grid Fantasy or Reality Time. Before we get out of here on this Thursday, Davis and I are working tonight on the NFL Draft, so we'll see you tonight at 7 Eastern. One quick thing before we get to Fantasy Reality, Shane McClanahan making his Major League debut, Davis, for the Rays, throwing over 100 miles an hour, yet another guy throwing over 100 miles an hour, and has already struck out four Oakland A's in two innings in his Major League debut. So I guess that this weekend we're going to be spending a lot of our free agent acquisition budget on Shane McClanahan and then just be sorely disappointed when the Rays just randomly option him like later this weekend. I feel like that's what the Rays do.
Yeah, well, I really hope they don't do that because I'm literally, in our break, I was just messaging my co-owners in the NFBC main event. I said, whatever we got to do to get McClanahan, we got to do it because I'm just watching him blaze through these Oakland A's right now. He's got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and 93-mile-an-hour slider. Like, how do you hit that? How do you hit that guy? It seems absurd. There's no way. Yeah.
Yeah. He was not throwing that hard at USF, but look, the Rays are very big on extending velocity and using all of those metrics to have that happen. And Oakland is no joke, too. They got a good lineup. So left-handed pitchers tend to may have some success, but I mean, against Oakland, they got a lot of righties. So I don't know. I'm definitely going to be in on him this weekend, but the Rays always scare me, Davis. Like I do this and then it's like they make an announcement. Oh yeah, we just wanted to see him for one game. It's crazy the way they, or he's an opener or something like that. I don't know. But yes, that will be a very big discussion for Monday here on the show for sure. Okay, fantasy or reality. Let's start with the Denver Broncos. They trade for Teddy Bridgewater. And so Teddy B, clearly, if nothing changes in tonight's draft, and I don't know what Denver is going to do, you would think has a chance to at least compete with Drew Lock for the starting gig. Fantasy or reality, Bridgewater will start week one for the Denver Broncos, Davis.
No, Teddy Bridgewater will not start week one for the Denver Broncos. They're going to give Lock a last couple chances. They'll have Cortland Sutton back. They'll have Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, Albert O, Melvin Gordon. They got Mike Boone in the backfield now. They will give him, I think they give him three games. I think he's locked into having three games to try and figure it out, to try and stop throwing the interceptions, to, you know, be a little bit more accurate. Because, you know, some people in that building do really like him. I think Elway clearly is pretty fond of Drew Lock, and they have more of an investment in Drew Lock than they do in Teddy Bridgewater, a sixth-round pick and a $3 million salary for Teddy Bridgewater because Carolina ate some of his money when they traded him. I think that this is a fantasy. I think that it is very likely going to be Drew Lock in week one.
Yeah, I think it's also a fantasy, but I wonder what the preseason is going to do for this situation. I wonder if they're going to go into the preseason saying it's an open competition, and if so, will those numbers in camp and in the preseason mean something? It's like a dynamic we haven't seen in a year because there was no preseason last year. I'll say fantasy. I'm with you, but I don't know that Locke has even more than a game. I think it could be a quick hook there with him, and Teddy Bridgewater gets the start. But I'm with you on Elway, too. That was his guy. Drafted Drew Locke. Hard to see them not starting him next year for sure. Okay, so here's where Davis got to step in here for me on this one, no doubt. They're going to be in Palm Harbor, PGA Tour this weekend. Paul Casey won last year at the Valspar Championship, and he won the event in 2019. He didn't play in 2020. I don't know a ton about this course. I do know where Palm Harbor is, obviously, but I'm not going to be good enough here on this one, Davis. I'm going to let you handle it. Fantasy or reality, Paul Casey will win the championship this year, this week.
Well, he did start out with a good round. He just finished his first 18 holes, shot 3 under par 68. Keegan Bradley currently leading the tournament, just finished his first round. He shot 7 under par, put a 64 on the card. I'm going to say this is a fantasy because obviously it's just very hard to win golf tournaments. And if you have one guy versus the rest of the field, the answer in general is going to be no, because golf is so hard. But also Dustin Johnson is playing here this week. Justin Thomas is playing here this week. It's Corey Connors, Scottie Scheffler. This is a fairly strong event. And I'm just not a Paul Casey guy. I never play him in DFS. I never wager on him to win these tournaments. And it would be bad for me if he won this event, considering my other wagers in DFS lineups. So I'm going to say that this is a fantasy.
All right. So I'll just agree with you because I don't have a strong opinion either way. So fantasy for me on Paul Casey. Find somebody else to bet for sure. Okay. So now let's touch on this interesting story that I saw here yesterday. Now, Elon Musk, who of course is known for Tesla and known for a lot of other things too, there was a story yesterday that posted that Elon Musk feels, Davis, that we could be on our way to having a trip to Mars. Now, here is the intriguing part of this. Part of some of Elon Musk's comments was, yes, I think it's possible. Yes, he thinks it's going to get done. Whether that's in the next 5 or 10 years, nobody really knows, but it could potentially be happening soon. But essentially, he says there are going to have to be volunteers, Davis, to do this, and no mandatory, because there's a pretty good chance that some people are going to die if they visit Mars. So I would ask you, Davis, I know this is, you're a man of the world here, so and certainly there's quite a bit at stake when you're talking about maybe dying and volunteering, but apparently there in the past, people wanted to say that they tried, they made it through, they're willing to risk their life. Fantasy or reality, Davis Maddock, I would love to know, would you volunteer to make one of the first trips to visit Mars?
I would not. Now, people definitely will, but going to Mars, I guess, is not really that intriguing to me. I mean, I'm sure it's incredible, right? And, you know, I'm sure that people who go to the moon have the same experience where they're like, wow, I'm literally on a different planetary body than Earth. Like, what could be more amazing and incredible than that? But it just does, I guess, that, you know, just the thought of it doesn't really get me going. What I would volunteer for that could potentially cost my life is if there ever is a real world Jurassic Park, which, by the way, scientists like think that they can do, like they have begun to like recreate the genome for different dinosaurs. I would do that. I would volunteer to be one of the people to go, you know, test out, do whatever in a real life Jurassic World, Jurassic Park scenario. Like that would be the juice being worth the squeeze for me. But Mars, not the juice, not worth the squeeze there. So that's for me, that is a fantasy.
Yeah, for me, this is a fantasy also. But I could see for sure, like, first of all, apparently, there will be, as you said, millions of volunteers to do this and risk their life to be able to be the first ones to go, for sure. They're 100% going to happen. But having a family and being married and having kids, it's like a no go for me. Like it's not even in the stratosphere of even being discussed. If it was safe and I knew that I'd come back, or the probability was 95%, yeah, I think that I would be up for making this trip. But the chance for death, I don't think so. Now it's interesting that you mentioned Jurassic Park, because that movie also, Davis, came out way before you were born, and so did the second one too. So just want to make sure that even though I thought Jurassic Park was like a game-changing type movie, that was a really old movie. Just want to make sure you know that.
It is a really old movie. I've probably seen the OG Jurassic Park like 25 times. I love that movie. I love the second one too. The second one I actually think is even better. Not only that, Craig, I've read the books. I read the OG book. I read mm-hmm. the sequel. Yeah, I mean, Michael Crichton books are, look, if you have a Saturday afternoon, you want to sit on the porch and read a book, you're not really going to find a better page turner than Michael Crichton's books. But you are right. Those are both old books and an old movie. And, you know, I took the time out of my life to engage with those materials. So maybe the answer is I just don't care about 1990s sports movies, which, you know, is probably true.
Yeah, Congo was one that he wrote, Michael Crichton, right? I think Sphere is another one. I read all of his books back in the day. I used to be a very big reader, and then I don't know what happened. I guess I got married, had kids, and then forgot about all that. But I was not a huge how many Jurassic Park old school movies were there? There was the first one. Was the second one called The Lost World? Does that sound familiar? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's the first one, then there's The Lost World, which is, so there also is a Lost World book, but The Lost World book is not a sequel to the first book. The Lost World book that Crichton wrote is a sequel to the movie, because at the end of the original book, everyone dies. Hammond dies, Malcolm dies, they all die, they all get eaten other than the kids and Dr. Grant, which is I think a better ending to those movies in general. And then there is a William H. Macy movie, which it's incredible that this is true, but there is a Jurassic Park 3, which was a William H. Macy movie in which his stepson is lost on the island, and he like hires people to go in and go get him out. That is a ridiculous movie.
That was terrible. I thought that movie. Yeah, I remember that. But then they just had them come out again, I think recently, maybe in the last 5 or 10 years, and they actually were pretty good, I think, right? Like the ones that came out again recently weren't that bad. Am I right about that or not?
Yeah. So there is Jurassic World, which is Chris Pratt and Ron Howard's daughter. I forget her name.
Yeah.
But they are the stars of those movies, and they are the plots of those movies are even further preposterous than they're like Mission Impossible movies, like just in the total realm of chaos, which is, you know, I grew up watching Star Wars and stuff, like total pulp fiction sci-fi stuff. Like there's no need to make a movie about dinosaurs realistic. Like, make it insane, who cares? Like, that's a fun movie.
Who would have thought that on draft day we would have a full dinosaur Jurassic Park conversation? Didn't anticipate that happening. Okay, before we get to the Sports Grid 60, give me one hot take, one crazy wild prediction that we'll have on recording here that we could play back just in case it happens, and if it doesn't, we'll never play it ever again for the draft tonight, Davis. One thing.
I will just say Justin Fields falls further than all of the casual audience expects him to the point where it gets awkward if he is in the green room, and every team that passes on him is going to end up regretting it, because I think he's incredible. So I think that Justin Fields falls, and every team just absolutely hates that they ended up passing on him.
Out of the first round or no?
No. I mean, if he does, that would be one of the stories of all time for the draft. Him falling out of the first round would be an all-timer. It would be like how far Rodgers fell. Like, just one of the most absurd things ever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think that I don't even think that that's that hot. I think that there's a chance of that happening today. Out of the first round becomes insane. Yeah, and that would be fun, because I'm with you on Fields. I don't understand it. I saw this guy play in college. I feel like he was as good as Lawrence almost, but what do I know? All right, Sports Grid 60 is coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. On our show tomorrow, we recap the first round of the NFL draft from a fantasy perspective. But we also will have our normal guest. Jim Sannis will be with us, Gray Albright. So some NASCAR, some baseball. We mix it all up here on the show. And that's what we'll do on the Friday edition of Fantasy Sports Today. But again, don't forget, tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, here on Sports Grid, we break down the entire draft for you from a wagering perspective, fantasy perspective, all of the crew that we have here on Sports Grid with you tonight. So if you enjoy the draft, watch the show. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We'll keep an eye on all the baseball for you. And we'll be back here tomorrow to break it all down, of course. But it is the NFL draft tonight, and I'm sure we'll be discussing that quite a bit, starting 7 o'clock Eastern. For now, we're going to leave you, but not before the Sports Grid 60. Davis Maddock, take it away.
All right, everyone. Get your game faces on. NFL draft is tonight. I promise you, whatever sports book you use, hopefully the FanDuel sports book, they have an impossible job tonight. They have to stay ahead of every Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, Jason Lockenfora, Greg Rosenthal tweet. They have to be scanning the rumors. They got to be beating the trades. They have to be adjusting their things just as fast as they happen. I promise you, if you are tuned in, if you're logged in, you will be able to make at least one completely free money bet tonight if you are grinding the things hard enough. So stay tuned in, have your phone handy, have your laptop handy, be watching the draft, and you will be able to make some money tonight on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yep, no doubt. Well said about that. Look, Tom Brady was a seventh round pick. Patrick Mahomes was not picked as high as he should have been. There are some great stories in the history of the NFL draft. We always remember those. But what is the draft about tonight? What is every NFL draft about? It is about the failures. It's not about the successes. I don't know why that's the way that we are as a country, and that's the way that we are in sports, but every time a team messes up, they take the wrong player. We have these cold takes where we go back and we watch all of the things that everybody screws up. Listen, maybe I'll be a part of that tonight too, and I can't wait for it. It's what we live for. It is the train wreck of making mistakes. That is what the 2021 NFL draft, I guarantee you, will end up being about. Thanks again for watching our show here on this Thursday. Again, thanks to James over at LTN and our friends Brett, Danny, and Ryan, who are always holding it down on our show today. For my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. That will do it for our show, but we are not done yet. We're going to be sitting here in our studios for the next 6 hours preparing for tonight's draft here at 7 o'clock Eastern. So those of you who are leaving us for now, make sure you tune in then. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy the draft tonight, and we'll see you here tomorrow at noon.